This is Telltales, Dakota Folklife and Stories, a collection of narratives, shared memories, and personal experiences from those who live on the North Dakota Plains. In this episode, we speak with Keith Bear, the Native American flutist. Keith talks about the healing powers found in the flute, both for others and himself.
Anybody can go to a store and buy a flute, but when you make them, you put life into that piece of wood. It's not a machine, and you breathe that life. You touch the spirit of everybody. These will do their medicine because it'll take old people, let them feel good, makes you feel soft again, makes you feel strong again, helps you to fly. Some people can't move, but when you hear that music, you can go anywhere. Some people are hurting and lost, and they're struggling and fighting inside, and this helps them to relax and to heal, to maybe take another breath or turn a different direction. These make children laugh, to make children cry, make women laugh, make men cry. It touches the spirit of all people. So you have many different songs. Some are fun, some are sad. Some are fast and happy. So it just depends on how you feel or what the flute wants to express. I've noticed that sometimes I'll have a song and start playing it. Like just recently at a funeral, I had this particular song in mind, and then all of a sudden it's like something just happens. And I'm like, that's not it. And I'm breathing and I'm watching my fingers. I'm like, wow. Wow, where did that come from? Wow, that sounds really cool. Can I do that, man? And the flute is playing me. I mean, it's really weird, but this song comes out, and those are spirit songs. You'll play a song, and you'll never get it back. Let the spirit come through. So that's what I think about when I lose a song. It sounded really good. Can try to get some of it back, but sometimes I can't even get a note of it back right after I play it. I like those two. So if it's not recorded at that moment, it's gone forever. Gone with the wind. And then that's kind of cool because, you know, when I was named after my dad's two best friends, Keith Fox and Keith Price. Then in like fourth or fifth grade, I found out that Keith in a baby book means the wind. So that worked out just right. When I was first learning how to play, I was working at Flagstaff Medical Center. And so after a couple of weeks, I decided to take it to work because I was also teaching self-defense class to the hospital staff. And so I'd sit down in the classroom and I'd play center myself and maybe have them relax and come in and quiet down, you know, get them in a different mindset. And everybody comes in, they're laughing, joking about this, talking about work, and it's easy to get them back on track to learn how to do self-defense, but if I can clear their mind, get them to relax, and then they're more willing to do things and they're willing to try stuff. And I don't know what it is. Music is a very powerful thing. So if they're relaxed, they're more easy to teach. They learn a little bit more. See, I mean, put people to sleep. Heard a couple of women and men be playing a song, I was like, snoring in the classroom. We start laughing, but let them go, you know. But that's part of that healing with the flute for those moments. There's a doctor that used to come up, and he was the youngest brain surgeon in the state. He's only 32 years old. He liked my jokes, and he heard my flute, and so he'd come up and, you got a song for me? Help him relax, just let him sit in a chair in an empty room or something. He just closed his eyes, and I'd play for him. And when I was done, or sometimes he'd open his eyes, and I needed that, and he'd get up and go. And then I had this patient down the hall, and he called. I go and play for him. And a lot of these people are from around the world. They came to the Grand Canyon, they came to the desert. They somehow got hurt, and their family had to go back to the other side of the United States or other side of the world, wherever they might be from. And they're there, but alone. Some of them can't speak English. So I'm doing the sign language thing. You want to hear this? You want to eat? You want to hear this? So I just start playing for them. Take them around like my kids. You know,
Do you always travel with them?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because sometimes I'll stop and play for myself. I just need it. Or else I'll hear something in my mind, and I'm like, well, that's not some kind of... And so pull over real quick, and grab that bag, which flute sounds, and then it didn't work. Go down the road. How about that flute? Try it again. Okay, now that works.
It sounds like this is something beyond your choice.
Yeah.
You have to do this. You're compelled to.
Yeah. Yeah. Compelled. Yeah. You just got to do it. Just
like breathing.
Yeah.
So you're still making flutes. You're active.
Yeah.
This is an unfair question, but if you had to guess, how many flutes do you think you've made?
Handmade ones, I've probably made close to 300. School ones, where you use a machine and I've made several thousand.
School ones, you've done workshops. You go to schools and teach kids.
Yeah, I tell them the stories. I tell them about warriors are not killers. Warriors were like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They earn that position. You do things to get recognized. You don't ask for that. And then people will come to you.
Produced in partnership with Dakota Legacy, this project is supported in part by a grant from the North Dakota Council on the Arts, which receives funding from the North Dakota State Legislature and the National Endowment for the Arts.